Amen. The children may be dismissed downstairs at this time. If you will, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. The title of the message this morning is A Living Sacrifice. The past couple of weeks, we've covered a few different things. About 3 weeks ago, we covered Jesus' command when He said, when He was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And He replied and said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength. And the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And He said, upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. And we talked about having a singular focus, the fact that just what Jesus said is all we need to know in order to be a Christian, in order to live the way Christ would have us to, the way God would have us to, is to follow what He said as you applied to the man that day. Week after that, we covered the test of faith. We talked about Joseph, and we talked about how as God gave a promise to Joseph, and He gave him that revelation through a dream, that instantly that promise was put to the test. As soon as He told or communicated to Joseph, revealed to Joseph that he was going to be a ruler one day, he immediately went into slavery. He went from slavery into bondage in a prison after God told him he was going to be a ruler. We talk about how he went the exact opposite direction of what God had told him. And it was not until 13 years later that he became a ruler there in Egypt. One of the most powerful men on the face of the earth at that time, ruling there in Egypt. And last week we talked about, does God change His mind? And we talked about the events that occurred on Mount Sinai as the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. And God knows about their disobedience, their rebellion when they make the golden calf. And He tells Moses that He's going to destroy them. He's going to start over again with Moses and make a nation from Moses. And Moses intercedes. He prays to God and asks God to repent of that evil that He's intending for the children of Israel. And it says that God repents. We talked last week about does God change His mind? And the implications of that, because everything that I have, my entire eternity, my life, my future, is hanging upon the Word of God. And if He changes His mind and decides, well, I'm going to go a different route, I'm doomed. Everything is built upon that. So we talked about the fact that God does not change His mind. God, once He makes a promise, He keeps that promise. And that we can trust that. We talked about that some last week. So we come to this morning, and the title of the message this morning is A Living Sacrifice. And I want to start off in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. If you will, stand in honor of God's Word as we read this together. This is very familiar scripture. You probably have this memorized. But Paul's writing to the Christians there at Rome, and he says this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you once again for this day. God, we pray, Lord, that you would bless us, God, here this morning, Lord, with your word. That God, as we hear this word, Lord, as we meditate upon it, think upon it, as we expound it, that God, we would open up our hearts, God, to receive it. God, we see many people around us today, Lord, who are truly, they're hearers of the word. They hear it, they know it, they can repeat it, but they are not doers of the word. God, I believe that many people today are deceived. They are woefully deceived in thinking that they're truly a Christian. God, help us to take this scripture to heart here this morning. Help us to lay our life beside of this verse we just read, and to really be honest and be sincere in our assessment to say, is this what our life looks like? Are we a living sacrifice for you? God, I pray, Lord, that we would allow your word, God, to do its work in our hearts. That, God, we can be changed. We can grow here this morning. God, we see many people that are in many empty seats here this morning, those who decided not to come. Some who couldn't come, so many who decided not to come. God, all we can do is what we can do. And that'll be between you and them. Father, we want to pray, God, that you'd please help us, God, to look at our own lives and to make sure that we're doing your will. Because just as we've sung, Lord, you're going to return one day. And God, we're going to be put to the test. We're going to find out who was true and who was only pretending. God, help us, Lord, to take this so seriously this morning to make sure that we are true believers, true disciples, true followers, that we are a living sacrifice to you, Lord, every day. That God will be ready and prepared to meet you when you return or when you call us home. God, help us, Lord, to look in a new way at our life here this morning and make sure, God, that we stand in a right standing with you. We pray and ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. This past week, and probably others in the church here have joined me in this, but I've been reading a lot in the book of Leviticus. I've been reading a lot about the sacrificial system. That's pretty much what Leviticus really, what it deals with. It's probably the bulk of what Leviticus is about. It's about the sacrificial system there in the Old Testament. And as I think about that, I think about how that, you know, that picture, imagine if you were to have to carry out that system and you had to actually slay an animal as a representative of your sin. You would take a bull or you would take a goat or a sheep or a dove or a pigeon and you would kill it before the Lord there at the tabernacle. I think that would create a really vivid picture of the consequences of sin, the penalty of sin. I would say they probably had a lot better idea about how terrible sin was back then as what we see today. As I read through that and think about that, you know, that animal that they brought was a substitute for the one who brought it. I want you to think about that. That animal that was being slain was taking their place because as the person was doing it, if they're doing it with the right heart, now it can become a ritualistic thing, just like anything can become. But the way that that sacrificial system was to work was that the one who was doing the offering would come in and they were recognizing their sin. They were recognizing that they had sinned against God and that they were deserving of death. Paul writes in Romans 3:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so that was understood long before Paul wrote that the wages of sin was death. We see that all the way back in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. God said, the day that you eat of it, the day that you disobey me and you sin, you shall surely die. You also notice that as they left the garden, they had covered themselves with leaves, but God kills an animal and provides skin for them. I think there's a reason, there's a purpose, provides clothing for them from the skin of the animal. There's a purpose in why God did it that way. It was to show them that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. Okay? We also find not only is there a death there in the covering of their sin, there's also a death that follows with Adam and Eve themselves, that they die. Their children die. One of their sons murders the other. We see that sin brings about death. And that would have been very well understood by the one who was coming to offer this animal before God as a substitute for themselves. They were recognizing and acknowledging that they had sinned and they were worthy of death as they killed that animal. Now that's not a very popular idea today. We don't like the idea. We don't like to think about the fact that there's judgment for sin. We want to jump ahead. We want to get ahead in the story and say, well, Jesus paid for all that. It's okay. I think we might jump ahead too quickly. I think we might need to stop and consider and think about the cost of sin. The cost of, you know, the consequence of sin, what it cost when we sin against God. That there has to be death. There has to be the shedding of blood. Now, it's true that Jesus fulfills each of these sacrifices. And the writer in Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:4 that we know it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. That could not happen. Killing an animal, that was just a symbol and a representation of something bigger and something that was ahead. I want to put it this way. Now as they did that through faith, as they performed that act, it was an act of faith and God accepted that. Okay? But when I say that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin, that act was pointing to something else, to the Lamb of God, as John said, the Lamb of God which would take away the sins of the world. That's what they were recognizing. If that Lamb had never come, the sacrificial system is meaningless. It's meaningless. They could still be performing those sacrifices today, Christ having not come, and guess what? Their sin would never, ever, ever be covered without the Lamb of God coming. This Lamb represents that Lamb. Without the true image, without the true meaning, the image loses all meaning, loses all significance, and all power. So Jesus comes and He fulfills the sacrifices completely. They were a picture of Christ and what was to come. It was an anticipation for the Lamb of God. And without Christ, the sacrificial system would be meaningless. I hope as you're reading through this, that you're taking things to heart as you read it. Because you may seem like it's monotonous, that you're just reading the same thing over and over again. But I hope you keep reading it. Because we're going to get some lessons from that this morning, actually, in this message. Now, when you think of a sacrifice, whether it's the picture of a sacrifice in the lambs that were slain in the Old Testament, or whether it's Christ Himself, when you think about a sacrifice, you always think about death. Okay? But what Paul writes here is he calls us to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. That sounds almost like a contradiction. I want you to think about what that looks like, to be a living sacrifice. Fortunately, Paul expounds upon this. He doesn't use the same terminology, but he expounds upon this in Galatians chapter 2 and in chapter 5. Let's read this. Galatians 2:20. This is another scripture that most people probably have memorized. Listen to what this says. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You don't live after being crucified. But Paul is looking at a deeper meaning there. He says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He comes on down in Galatians 5:24 and he touches on this again and says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. This is what Paul's referring to when he talks about being a living sacrifice, is that there is a death, there is a slaying, a killing of sin and of lust, of things of the flesh, but we continue on. But we continue on in the faith of Jesus Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. So what does a living sacrifice look like? You know, Paul also said that I die daily in 1 Corinthians 15:31. How do you die daily? If you died yesterday, how are you going to die again today? He's talking about He dies to the flesh, dies to this world every day. He is offering a sacrifice saying, God, forget this world, forget all the deceptive, deceitful things of this world, forget those, I killed them, I'm going to live for you today. That's what Paul was saying. That's the imagery that he's pulling upon here. So what does a living sacrifice look like? It's every Monday when you wake up, you take every thought, every desire, every plan that is not honoring to Christ, and you slay it. And you burn it, and you completely get rid of it. And throughout the day, every temptation and every excuse, you slay it. You kill it. Paul uses that imagery all the time. He talks about mortifying the flesh. That means killing the flesh. Folks, there's a lot of half-hearted Christians today. Man, that is becoming, that smacks me in the face every day. There are a lot of people who have talked really big, but where are they? I keep preaching on this. I preached several weeks about being despised and rejected. Folks, it's happening. It's happening in droves. There are people who claim the name of Christ, but their lives completely deny Him. They're not a living sacrifice. They're a big mouth. That's it. They're completely opposite. A living sacrifice takes some commitment, takes some dedication. It's not easy to die daily. It's hard to die daily. That's why it's referred to as a death. Death isn't easy. Most Christians are taking it very easy today. They take their Christian walk easy. It's a light thing to them. Folks, we're in trouble today. There's danger everywhere around us. Because the vast... And I'm just talking about people who claim to be Christians. We have a huge number of people who don't even claim to be Christians today. Of course they're lost. But there are many people who claim to be Christians today, but they're Christians in name only. Because if you watch their life, you'd have a hard time telling that Christ was anywhere near it. Yeah. That's the opposite of what Paul's talking about when he talks about being a living sacrifice. Every temptation, every excuse. I hear excuses so much, I can't hardly stand it. excuse after excuse after excuse why somebody's not serving the Lord. I like what Preacher Steele said. I didn't hear him say this, but Bill had retold this story several times. That a lady was coming to Mr. Steele to tell him all these reasons why she couldn't be at church, why she couldn't do anything for the Lord, how her heart, her desire was so great, but she just couldn't perform it. And Preacher Steele said, I'll take your excuse. I understand. But God will not. And that's the truth.
Yeah. Right.
I love reading the Old Testament. I love reading it. Because you see a side of God that we've forgotten about today. He takes this very seriously. There's times I feel like He's the only one that does. Folks, what we do in our Christian life, there's nothing more serious than this. There's nothing that's more substantial than this. To take this lightly, to take your walk with the Lord lightly, it is the greatest blasphemy you could ever do. It's taking every day of your life and giving it and dedicating it to the Lord. Folks, you do that on your Monday, and then guess what? You get up on Tuesday and you do it again. You give this day, it's a new day, you give that to the Lord. Every day is the Lord's day for a Christian. Every single day. It's not just Sunday. Who ever dreamed that only Sunday is the Lord's day? This is the day we come to God's house, that we come here together and worship together, have corporate worship. But every day is the Lord's day. Every single day. We dedicate every day to Him. The scripture that comes to mind that goes along these same lines is in 1 Corinthians 6:20. When Paul reminds the Corinthians and says, you're bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies, which is Christ. When you're truly a believer, you don't withhold anything from the Lord. Because He bought us with His own blood. There's nothing that you hold back on. As you read through these sacrifices in Leviticus, I was a little behind yesterday, so I read through like 10 chapters of Leviticus. Man, it's pretty thick reading. As you read through these sacrifices, I'm caught up now. As you read through it, the Bible makes it excruciatingly obvious that God wants the sacrifices carried out and performed in a certain way. And folks, as you read through it, that makes it very monotonous and very repetitive to read. But I'm glad it's that way. I thank God that He wrote it out there. The reason I say that is this. Because most Christians today think that God will just take anything. Read Leviticus. If you know a Christian who has that mentality to say, well, I'm doing something. Have that person read through the book of Leviticus in one sitting and see if they think that God is the type of God who just takes anything and everything. I read in Leviticus and I find it over and over and over in excruciating detail over and over again, absolutely not will I take anything. I will take a very specific thing. It'll be the first and it will be the best and nothing else. That's what God says in Leviticus. And nobody's reading it. And it's obvious. Someone says, well, I don't really read the Old Testament much. I know you don't. I know. I'm well aware that you don't read it. I can see it in your life. Because you think God's to be trifled with. You don't know the Old Testament. You don't know God. We need to read through those things. Don't you dare think, well, that looks boring. I'll skip over it. You better read it.
Amen.
God put it there for a reason.
Amen.
Take it to heart. I've not found anything in God's Word that is not incredibly valuable.
Amen.
What about genealogies? Man, just wait. 1 Chronicles is coming. The first 9 chapters are genealogies. Go ahead and brace yourself. Go ahead and lower your head. You know, get your footing and just drive through it, okay? Genealogies are important. Do you know that?
Yeah.
I have no earthly idea how to. I could never quote to you any verse in the first 9 chapters of Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. But here's what I do know. This is where it's so helpful. I use that pretty often. You see, today people have a tendency to refer to the Bible as like a fairy tale book, like it's mythology. Guess where you need to take them to? The first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles. Hand it to them and have them read it out loud. And then say, does that sound like mythology to you? Does that sound like a fairy tale to you? That sounds to me like a historical book that goes to a lot of detail to capture all the history to say this is true.
Amen.
This is not just something that someone made up one day. This is framed and this occurred in a time in history, a specific time. This is a historical book. These are events that really happened. These are people who really lived. And when I think about that, I think about the detail that the biblical writers went to capture those genealogies. Do you think they're going to lie and make something up about the kings of Israel and the things that they did? About God's miracles that He performed for them? About what happened with David and Goliath? You can trust it. It's a historical book. And the things are accurately, historically recorded. Every part of God's Word matters.
Amen.
Every single part. As I read through that and I read through scriptures like that where God states it over and over again, and I think about the detail that God goes into, and then I think about people I know who, if they don't say it, they at least live it to say, well, it's good enough. It's close enough. God doesn't do close enough. God doesn't do good enough. He does it a specific way. It's either right and true, or it's wrong. But many Christians have that attitude. Folks, what we find in Leviticus, and I hope you're reading through it right now, we find that God expects, and I want you to listen so closely to this, God expects 100%. He expects your very best. When He tells them to bring a sacrifice, He says, you bring the first of your herd without spot and you sacrifice it to Me. You bring the first of your herd or of your flock without blemish, perfect, and you bring it to Me. I get the first one. You tell me, is that the way most Christians live their lives? 180 degree difference from that. Not only do they miss that mark, they do the opposite. God gets the scraps. And it's happening more and more today than I've seen it in the past. You don't throw God the scraps of your life, of your day, and think He's going to accept it. You know what, folks? I think those scraps are just piling up and God's saying, what do you expect Me to do with that? Get it out of My sight. That's profane to Me. You don't bring Me a swan. I said a lamb. I said a goat. I said a bull. Clean animals. You bring it unclean, I will reject it and I'll reject you. That's My God. And yes, He's still loving and yes, He's still merciful, but He doesn't just take anything. And Leviticus teaches us that. But nobody's reading it. And I see that. Don't think you're going to tell God when God calls upon you to do something for Him. Don't think you're going to tell Him, no, that's too much. No, that's too hard. I'm not going to do that. And think that God's going to accept it. Don't think He'll understand. Because He won't understand. And folks, understand this. I know that the majority of people that need to hear what I'm saying this morning are not here. But I've covered this before. They're accountable for this message. If they could be here, they're accountable for this message. Well, I couldn't be here. We'll find out. I don't know if you can or not. I'm not going to check your pulse. I'm not going to feel your head. If you can't be here, you can't be here. I understand. I don't want no one to come to this church sick. But I don't think everybody's sick who claims to be sick this morning. I'm not naive.
Blessing God.
And God certainly is not. He'll know where you could have been and when you could have been there. And those who could be here this morning and chose not to come will be accountable for this message.
That's right.
They're going to say before God, I didn't know. He'll say, you chose not to know. You're accountable for every word of it.
Yeah.
I'll preach at this church if I preach to empty pews.
Listen.
And that may sound crazy, but people could have been here. I'll let people know when our services are, when to be here, that they can come. We'll try to make it as welcoming as we possibly can. If they choose not to come, there's nothing I can do.
Right.
But preach the Word and do the best that I can. It'll be between them and God. And I think that day of reckoning is coming very quickly. Very quickly. No wonder nobody wants to sing down on He's coming again. It could happen in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst thing that could happen in their life. It's for Christ to return. Folks, there's a lot of half-hearted devotion today to Christ. And that does not work. There are many people who talk of this big game today about all they're going to do for the Lord. Folks, when I talk about being a living sacrifice, you know what I mean? They're going to be a martyr for Jesus. Really. You won't be in church on Sunday morning, but you're going to be a martyr? No, you're not going to be a martyr. You're going to be this. A joke. You are a joke. To every person that you witness to, you're a joke. Just so you know. I know people that think that way. That they're going to become a missionary. They're going to become a pastor. Folks, they can't even bridle their tongue. They can't even get out of the gate. They're just going to skip. They can't get over level 1, so they're going to skip to level 101. It doesn't work that way. God rejects that.
Yeah.
Folks, if you can't be faithful in the little things, don't dream God's going to put you into positions where there's going to be bigger things, where there's more responsibility. Folks, where you can do more damage.
Mm-hmm.
If you can be faithful in the little things, He's not going to do anything with you on the big things.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who think that they're going to give their life to the Lord, but they can't even love their neighbor as themselves. They can't even get along with people. I know people right now who have intentions to go in the mission field and they cannot get along with other people. Are you kidding me? I'm assuming that they're joking. You're joking, right? What exactly are you going to do in the mission field except create a huge mess and mislead people? Am I for you going? I'm starchly against you going. You should not go. What you should do is repent and begin with those baby steps. Get your life in order, and then you might be able to do something for the Lord when you get those things in order.
Amen.
You don't get to just sweep those over and say, well, I'll do those later. That is not the way God operates.
Amen.
And I'm seeing that more and more. Folks, I see guys at the jail that get on fire for the Lord, and they're ready to go preach the gospel. That's great. But you know what? You also need to get a job. Provide for your family. If you can't do those two things, keep your seat. This pulpit to me is sacred ground.
Amen.
Not just anybody's coming up here.
Amen.
Not on my watch, they're not. If they don't live it, I'll die before they preach it. I'll die before they get up here.
Listen.
I want to watch a person's life before they come to this pulpit.
Amen. Yeah.
Do you live it? How do you treat your wife? That will disqualify you from preaching at this church. Maybe not others, but it will this one. It'll disqualify you from service at this church. I care about how people live their lives. I'm not the police. I'm not going to come and kick in your door and see what you're watching on TV. But I care about how you live your life. That matters.
Amen.
That matters.
Amen.
And folks, all this stuff should be obvious. I'm not preaching anything that shouldn't be obvious today, but I think people don't get it. They don't see it. I mean, you would think everybody knows that. Well, either they don't know it or they don't care. One or the other. But it definitely is worth saying this morning. Because that's what it's about being a living sacrifice. It's dealing with day-to-day temptations. Temptations to quit, temptations to lay down, temptations to sin, temptations to compromise. Being a living sacrifice excludes those things. It cuts those things down, it slays them, it kills them, and you live with a single focus, with a single-hearted focus for the Lord. I say all this morning because I think it's already started. But it's going to become increasingly obvious and problematic for someone who's going to be a half-hearted Christian. Let me tell you what's happening right now. At one time, we live in a nation that was founded on Christian principles. Okay?
Yeah.
At one time, you could walk with one foot in the world and one foot in the church or in the kingdom of God, and it was really kind of hard to tell because we had people in our society that were pretty moral people. They didn't fear the Lord, they didn't love God, but they understood morality, they understood the importance of morality, they didn't understand the basis for it, they understood the purpose of it, and that was good, they were moral. Well, guess what? If this is the kingdom of God, and this is the world and the society around us, it's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a divide that's growing. Now notice the Word of God, the kingdom of God, it isn't moving anywhere. It's straight. Okay? It's holding its course. But this world is drifting apart like this.
Yeah.
And every Christian that has one foot here and one foot there, it's dividing.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? People have to make a decision.
That's right. Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
God is actually, because we're so lukewarm, God is forcing us to say, which will it be?
Mm-hmm.
Will it be me or will it be this world? You have to make a decision.
Right.
And folks, if it's been going at an angle like that, it's turning like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's going even more rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And I fear today, if you're not at church this morning, you think you're going to be here in 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's laughable.
That's
nobody hates me for being here this morning, but they will.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's coming.
Amen.
I think it's coming very rapidly. Got any protesters out here this morning? I'll be out there in a little while. Any sandwich signs out there? Anybody walking around picketing our church this morning? Give it time.
Yeah.
Anybody shouting anything at you as you came in that door this morning? What will you do when they begin to do that?
Bless God.
I think I know.
Bless God.
I think I know. Folks, I don't know how else to say it. I know that this is a hard message this morning, but we need to hear it. As I said earlier, the people that need to hear it the most couldn't make it this morning. What do you do? I'm up for suggestions. What do you say? You know what you do? You get sold out for Christ. Every person in this church, you make your decision that you're going to stand for Christ, come what may.
Amen.
And you know the people that aren't here this morning is going to do? When it gets wide enough, when the right pressure comes, they're going to do this.
Right.
And folks, you don't want to know where this road leads.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're born again. Christian. Saved my whole life.
Bless God.
Boy, you got a surprise coming. There's a surprise coming at the end of that road. I can be a Christian and still be here. I love these people. I'm going to minister to them on this road. I'm going to be a witness to him. I'm going to be a light on this road. You can be a light on that road. It's not going to work that way.
Right.
That road leads to destruction.
Yeah.
This one leads to life everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
You better pick your road.
Amen.
And I think that's happened. You know what? It saddens me. But same, I thank God for that because people need to make a decision.
Yeah.
And it's better to make a decision right now to force that decision than for them just to ride it to eternity, not saved, not ready to meet God. At least maybe they'll see. Maybe then it will shock them into seeing, I'm on the wrong road. Maybe. Probably not. I'm convicted about this today. I want to say this. Folks, we do things that... It's discouraging. We do things as a church the way we do them for a reason. 2 years ago, I sat down, over 2 years ago now, I sat down with Tim, Leander, Stephen, Bill, Justin, Kenny, myself and Janice sat down. And I laid out for them what I wanted to do as a church. Folks, I wanted to be real. I've heard my whole life. I've heard my whole life. People say there's too much fluff in the church today. There's too much. I mean, it's, you know, all about programs, all about performances, all this stuff. It's just one event after another. That's what I've heard my whole life. And I said, you know what? We'll be different. We're going to be different. We're going to be a stripped down, sincere, heartfelt church. We'll be built around songs about Christ, about the blood, about the Word of God. We want to be Word-centered, making disciples, sending our money to places where it can really do something. I don't want to do a parade float. Folks, I want to give it to missions. You can support 3 pastors for that. I'm talking about doing the best things. Folks, these are good things. I don't want to put those things down. But we only have so much to work with. I want to do the best things. I've said it, and I've said it, and I've said it, and I've said it. The best things.
Yeah.
And surely, this is where it hurts. There's so many people that told me that's what they want. That's what they desire. If we'll lead the way, people will follow. Where are they? I don't know how to be more sincere. I don't know how to be more sincere. And I don't know how to be more blood earnest than I am. And the writing is on the wall. I called their bluff. They were just kidding. I knew that's a possibility, but that's discouraging. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought if we could just be as real and as raw as we possibly can, and folks, there's still room to become more real. Understand, I'm not perfect. I'm not there yet. But I want to be completely sold out to Christ. And folks, I feel like I said, guys, you're right. Let's get sold out as a church. Let's say we're going to do this thing. Who's with me? And you run. And nobody's with you. I'm not naive. I knew that could happen. But I was surprised. I was surprised at the people who left to go find a program or a play or a parade because they said they didn't like those things. But they didn't tell me the truth. Folks, I don't know what else to say. I'm up for suggestions. I'm not perfect. I don't know everything. Believe me, I don't know everything. I'm doing the best I can. And I'm constantly thinking, is there something that I'm doing that I need to change? Is there something that I'm saying? Am I preaching too long? Am I preaching the wrong things? Can I stay true to the gospel and just say it differently to where it's more clear, where people will listen, where they'll come? I'm constantly re-examining and second-guessing myself. And folks, I'm up for suggestions. I really am. I say that sincerely. If there's something that is just obvious, we did a survey because I want to know, is there something that we're doing that it's about how we're doing it that's driving people away? Folks, I want to make sure that if people don't come, it is not the offense of Jordan, which is very likely. It's not the offense of Bill or of Kitty or of Jenna or of something in this church. I don't want it to be the offense of us. If they choose not to come, I want it to be the offense of the cross.
Amen.
That they reject. And folks, that's a project that I'm going to work on to the day that I die to make sure that it's not Jordan getting in people's way. And it could definitely be that. If it is that, please tell me. Don't hesitate. Tell me at the back door. Tell me if it's Jordan that's driving people away. Tell me. And I'll change. I'll do something different to not drive people away from the cross. But folks, my greatest fear is this, is that it is actually the cross. That they really were joking. That they really don't care. That they were really bluffing about saying, well, I want a real church. I want a sincere church. I'd like to say, there you have it. We're trying. And people walk away. Turns out, that's exactly what they didn't want. Because I hear people say all the time, I want real preaching. I want someone who preaches the Word. Do you? Do you? Folks, if I'm nothing else in this world, maybe. And folks, I do this in a very imperfect way. But I might just be someone who just calls people's bluff the rest of my life. Those who say, I want to serve Christ. I want to see the unreached to be reached with the gospel. I want to see that. I want to make that happen. And I say, come on, let's go do it. And they say, whoa. Maybe that's my role. Maybe that'll be my job in this life. I don't know. But folks, I want to be sincere. I want to be a living sacrifice. And God shows me every day things that I need to change in my life to say, Jordan, hey, there's some leaven here. You got to get it out. Jordan, there's a problem. Hey, Jordan, come here. This sacrifice of this day, there's a blemish right here. It's not real big, about that big, but it's a blemish. Go get another one. Get rid of it. I want God to do that for me. And folks, there's plenty. There are so many blemishes that God's revealing to me. And I thank God for that. I want to purge out any sin that would separate me from Christ, that would quench His Spirit's work in my life. I want to be sincere about that. And I know I've got places I need to improve. But folks, I want this church. You've got to make decisions too. It's not just me. We have to decide, what are we going to be? Are we going to be sincere? Are we going to be committed? I want to be as real as a church, or real of a church, as we can possibly be. And I want to call upon you to help me to see ways that we can do better. I want you to tell me ways we can do better. As I said earlier, I'm open for suggestions. But folks, I want my life to be a living sacrifice. I want this church to be a living sacrifice for Christ. And there may not be many of us here. Are you okay with that? Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. It bothers me. Because people need to hear it. They've got an eternity. They're going to meet the God of Leviticus.
Yeah.
And they don't know Him. It does bother me. And it's going to always bother me. Because I want people to hear. I want people to buy in. I want people to say, I also want to be a living sacrifice. And folks, I know I'm going to be disappointed. I know that. But folks, I will affect what I can do. I will look at my own life and say, Lord, show me. Help me to grow. And help me to be a light to others. That maybe, just maybe, they might also say, I want to be a living sacrifice. Folks, that's all we can do as a church. That's it. And week after week, there might be fewer and fewer and fewer that come. And I'm coming to terms with that. But it's not easy. As we get ready to close this morning, I'm going to ask Bill to come and get a song. Folks, it's not just time, it's past time for people to make a decision. I think either, listen to me, and if you see it differently, let me know. Either people are going to have to get all in or all out. And that's not just this church, that's all over East Tennessee. People are going to make a decision. Are you going to be in or are you out? And it's got to be 100%. Every person in this room needs to make up their mind. If you're going to be a Christian, be a Christian. Be a Christian fully. Know as much as you can know. Love people as much as you can love people. Well, there's something I want to say this. It's not easy to be a Christian, but here's what I found out. It is so liberating when you put your whole heart into something. Mm-hmm. When you know you're not holding back, when you're swinging as hard as you possibly can, there's something liberating about that. I was surprised by that. I would think being completely sold out and being a living sacrifice would be like a drudgery, would be hard. Folks, it's so much easier to give 100% than it is to give 90%. That sounds odd, doesn't it? But it's true. When you're serving the Lord, it is easier to give everything than to just give something. As Christians, we have to be dedicated. We have to say, I'm going to be a Christian with everything I've got. Nothing's off limits. So many times we say, God, I want to turn my life over to You except for this area, this area, this area, this area. Are you kidding? If you're going to turn it over to Him, you've got to turn the whole thing over to Him. You can't take back and say, well, I'm going to give You this portion. I'll give You 87%. I'll give You 63%. God rejects that. If you're going to be a Christian, a living sacrifice, that is synonymous with a Christian. All Christians are living sacrifices, and vice versa. If you're going to be a Christian, be a Christian. And if not, listen, then quit wasting your time in half-hearted service, because it's not going to count. It's not going to matter before the Lord. Folks, I've said things very similar to that on many occasions. I'm beginning to realize that some people took me up on the second one. Said, you're right. Maybe they didn't say it explicitly, but in their life they said, you're right. See ya. I'm prepared for that to happen. I hope that doesn't happen. That's an option. But understand, it's the wrong option. They went that way, but know this, it was the wrong way. And that won't change. As we stand this morning, as we sing, if God's dealing with your heart, I encourage you to come. Oh,